So today's episode of the podcast is how we can squeeze in more art into our lives. So this is something that all artists struggle with, whether you are just beginning or whether you are an established artist, but it can relate to having the actual time in terms of minutes and seconds and hours to devote to your artwork, but it can also relate to the sort of headspace that our art needs to occupy. We have so many competing demands in our life, which takes up our time, but also our headspace, our thinking time, and that can make doing our art more difficult. So in the podcast today, I'm going to talk to you about a few strategies of how we can squeeze in more art into our lives.
Hi, and welcome to Art School Thinking Podcast with me, Trace Eastham, founder of Art School by Subscription. I believe that anyone can transform their artwork by using some established art school strategies and ideas that have creative experimentation and risk-taking at their heart. I want you to be invigorated, encouraged, and inspired to create a sustainable art practice. So, let's begin.
So, the first one is to adapt your art to your circumstances. Okay, so this can feel a little bit contradictory. There's almost a sort of myth that artists have this one form of art within them that they are born to make. You know, 6-footer oil landscape paintings. And that anything else, it won't be right and we can't change. But we can adapt our art, and all artists do it. All great artists within their life adapt their art to suit their circumstances, and we should do it too. So here are some ways that you can adapt your art. You can adapt the scale of your art. So that might mean going small. If you're struggling to squeeze in time for your art, maybe we just need to work a little bit smaller. And you might think, oh, but what about, you know, volume? I need to make volume of art for sales or for shows or something. We can still make the same amount of volume of art. In fact, we might even be able to make more volume by going smaller. And there are other benefits to going smaller as well, like some people like to buy smaller artworks more than bigger artworks because it's cheaper to frame and it's easier to put into the house. So we can play around with scale. Of course, scale is smaller paintings or artworks are often quicker to complete, but it might also be that because they are smaller, we can work on them in more occasions. So if, for example, we're working at A3 size, we might only be able to do that when we're in our studio. If we adjust our artwork to work on sort of 5 or 10 centimeter square pieces, we can take that in our bag as we go away places, and we can work on it when we're, I don't know, waiting for the kids to finish swimming practice, or we can take it with us when we go on holiday and do a little bit while we're away doing other things at other times. So scale might be a really good way for you to squeeze in more art. We can also change the materials that we use. So if we're using something quite heavy, like canvases, or if we're using something which takes ages to dry, like oil paints, we can quicken that process up by using more lightweight materials, like say paper or canvas boards instead of canvases, which don't need priming and all that sort of stuff. Or we might choose to use good quality acrylics or oil pastels, for example. Something which either doesn't take any drying time or dries a lot quicker than oil paints. So we can change our materials. Subject matter is another one. So a lot of people feel like they have to paint or do artwork about grand subjects, like stunning landscapes in the Lake District, for example, or only draw pictures of the most beautiful people that you've ever seen before. That's not true, of course, and having that belief can restrict where and when you do your art. If you're waiting for this amazing subject material, then that's going to delay you getting started, because we're not surrounded by amazing things all the time. So if we can adapt our art and make artwork about ordinary, common, pedestrian subject matter, things which are lying around in the house, things which are in the garden, etc., etc., then we're going to be able to do more art. We're not going to be waiting around or spending quite so much time trying to find that amazing subject matter. Another way we can adapt is through applying limitations, which you might say, well, that's going to make it more harder, isn't it? Limitations make things harder. But not necessarily. Limitations can give us that push that I really am going to stop procrastinating now because I really need to do this because it's part of my limitation. And there's loads of different limitations that you can use. In fact, I recorded a separate podcast episode about limitations. But an example of a limitation might be, right, I'm going to do 3 artworks by the end of the week. And because you've set yourself that limitation, you will find the time to do it. Okay, so that's the first piece of advice. Adapt your art. It's okay to change the art that you make. It's better to make more art than feeling like you have to do the same thing over and over again. Okay, so the second one is focused forward planning. So this is the really boring one, I'm afraid, but simply planning ahead a time when you're going to make artwork enables you to ring fence it, and also make sure that others know that, yep, in 1 week's time Sunday at 4 p.m. I'm gonna have an hour in my studio, or whatever it is. You know, Thursday mornings is my studio time. Or in that sort of awkward space between clearing up from tea, sitting down to watch a film, right, no, this is my half hour time upstairs to make my artwork. If you forward plan that in, and you let, most importantly, you let everyone around you know, then you can ring fence it. And the people around you won't feel as able to distract you and to ask you for other things. But also they might even keep you accountable. They might say, oh yeah, you can't do this because it's your studio time, isn't it? So forward planning, set a time, ideally like a regular time every week works the best, and let everyone around you know, especially if you live with other people. The third thing that I'm going to talk to you about is assigning a space for your artwork. So this is contentious, because those of us who are maybe more privileged and lucky have an actual studio space, which is a room or even a separate building outside of the house, where we can do our art, and we can have all of our art materials left out ready, so that when we do have art studio time, we're not spending 20 minutes just getting everything out and the water and the paints and the God knows what. We can get in there and we can get going straight away. But we can still do this if we only have an art box. You know, your art box is your art space in this example. So if you have literally not even got a table, make sure that you've got at least like a bag or a box, or just a pile even, just like a functioning pile that you can take, place on your kitchen table, and it's sort of ready to go. You know, you don't want the situation where you're having to unpack things and get things ready, because one, that puts you off from starting in the first place, and two, it takes up valuable time. A sort of sub point in that third point of assigning a space is another little tip, which is to always leave a piece of artwork a little bit unfinished. And that's an amazing technique that Ernest Hemingway actually used with his writing. He would always finish his writing just before the point where he felt like he was finished, just before the point. And that meant that when he came back to his writing studio later, he could pick up from where he left off and he'd be like, oh, I know what I'm doing. I just need to finish this bit and then I can carry on. But of course, by then he's on a roll and he finds making new writing and new ideas a lot easier. And it's the same with art. If we leave an artwork that's just a little bit unfinished and we know that next time we come back to our studio, all we have to do is, I don't know, tighten up that little edge there or add another layer or just do that fine line outline or something. As soon as we sit down, we do that one thing that we don't really need to think about. We just do it and then we're in the zone. We're in the creative mindset and ideas flow and the whole rest of the studio time is a lot easier. Final idea for how to squeeze in more art into your life is to, I guess it's a bit of a iffy one, a bit of a silly one maybe, but it's to incorporate your family into your art activities. Now, I say family because in my experience, it's kids and family members who take most of our time, you know, looking after our family. It might even be a dog or a cat or a horse or something, you know, an animal that we have to look after. So family, pets, these are the things which tend to take most of the time in our lives away from us. So we can try and squeeze in more art time by incorporating those elements into our art time. So that might be, for example, making art with or of our children. It might be making art when we're doing family activities, like taking a sketchbook with us when we go for a walk or a picnic with the family. Or it could be that we incorporate our dog in a little way. So, you know, we need to spend time with the dog every day. We need to take it for a walk. Excuse me. So why we do that? While we do that, we do a drawing of them. We do some photography of them. We might even ask the dog to interact directly into our artworks by letting them walk over our drawings and incorporating that into our mark making. You know, that's a bit of a silly option. But as much as possible, where possible or potential, try and incorporate your family, your dog, your cat, whatever it is, your caring responsibilities into your artwork. I've saved that last silly one to last, but I think the first three are probably going to be the most useful for you. And believe me when I say that it is something that all established artists do. All artists struggle with squeezing time into their life. And these strategies will definitely help you. Definitely help you. Okay, so I hope you've enjoyed today and that you'll join us for the next podcast episode with Art School Thinking.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you want more help and support to invigorate your artwork, I have developed an online art school which you can access for a low monthly subscription. We have a growing community of artists and I would love you to join us. So head over to artschoolbysubscription.com to find out more.